Now I need you to turn to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 5. There are three texts really this evening. Two of them are Jeremiah and then to James, and I'm thinking of demons' faith, demonic faith. Demons believe. I wonder, is our belief, if we profess it, demonic belief or akin to theirs? Do we have real faith? And hopefully you'll understand what real faith is, what it does. And if you're not converted, you'll desire it, because it's more precious than gold, of course. So by way of introduction, I want to look at Jeremiah 5 and verse 2. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. Now Jeremiah, as you know, is known as the weeping prophet. He also wrote the book of Lamentations. He was called to pronounce judgment upon the nation, to reason with them, to persuade them to turn to the Lord as individuals, to escape as brands from the burning, the judgment that was to come for the sins of the nation and of the people. And he's presenting to them the sins that are bringing God's judgment. And this is what he describes. He declares of people there that they say as they would speak, the Lord liveth. They would affirm their words one to another. It's a very favorite way of speaking. You want to emphasize a point and the seriousness of it. As the Lord lives, they would say. Now Jeremiah picks this up. God says they speak like this, but you know, they swear falsely. Now it's good for us to understand what's meant. He means that though they would say and affirm in these words, the Lord lives, they go from the saying of the words to the living of their lives as if he didn't live. That made no difference to them. That had no impact on the lives that they were living. They would say, as the Lord lives. But if they truly meant that, if they truly understood that, if they had a real relationship with the living God, they would bow to him. They would respond to him. They would receive his words. They would heed his warnings through the prophet. They would repent of their sins. They would turn from their self-pleasing ways to please the Lord. I wonder, is that the kind of life you're living? That you would speak with a respect, your words at least would be well-sounding words. You would affirm the Lord lives. But the life that you live, why, you may as well not believe he exists at all. Is that the life you're living? The reality, the being of God, to all intents and purposes, doesn't really impact on your life whatsoever. Oh, perhaps a little. It restrains some things. It holds back some practices. The worst of them, but to all intents and purposes, he's not there. See, there are very, very many more practicing atheists than there are professing atheists. I know multitudes of people, you do, who would never say there is no God. They would never describe themselves in a million years as an atheist, but they live like atheists and they don't see the contradiction. They say there's a God. He lives. We know he's there as the Lord lives. Yet says the prophet, surely they swear falsely. He means it means nothing. That understood, received, embraced would move them to truly live as God intended them to live. The very first thing they would do would be to get right with God, to repent of their sins and believe on Christ. Submit to his reign and to his rule. Now, do you do that? Not perfectly. No Christian does. But oh, you want to. And it's the desire of your heart. You have bowed the knee by the grace of God. You were broken. You were humbled. You saw your sin. And you repented of it before God. And you believed on Christ. You cast yourself on Christ to save you and cleanse you from your sin. Well, multitudes are described, not just the people of Israel in Jeremiah's day. That's a reality for vast numbers today. Are you one of them? The Lord lives, you know it, but it may as well not be true, for all the impact that it has in your life. Secondly, I wonder, are you duped? Just turn the page. Jeremiah chapter 6. See, here something happens continually. Verse 14. These people not only would profess, would say in their speech, oh, the Lord lives, and then live as if he didn't. They were also being duped. The clergy weren't helping them, as it were. They were listening to a false message. And maybe this is what has impacted on you. Not, I hope that you're listening to false teaching, but that you've imbibed that spirit of the world, religious world, by and large, where you believe you're right with God, but you don't trust in Christ. It's not Christ-centered faith that you have or belief. No, look what's said in verse 14. Said of the preachers, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. Now, the original word is quite interesting. Slightly is a good interpretation, but it really means insubstantially, lightly. And the slightly, the lightness of it, that it heals it all, is that it deals with your conscience. It says to you, you're all right. Peace. Peace. When there is no peace. Now again, have you imbibed this message, this teaching so popular out there? You're not troubled. You're not terribly concerned about your state of soul because you think you're well. You think you're right. You think you're in a right relationship with God. Well, some in Jeremiah's day weren't concerned as they ought to have been. Weren't on their knees pleading for mercy and pardon and forgiveness because some preacher had come along and he told them all's well. You know, the liberal message, the liberal gospel tells everybody they're okay unless you're the worst of the worst. If you're in any way religious, fine, that's all you need to be. Haven't you been baptized? Didn't you go to church? Weren't you confirmed? Have these things happened, or didn't you attend church so regular and often? Didn't you go at Christmas? Didn't you go at Easter? Didn't you take part in nativity plays and activities in the church? You're all right. Peace. I wonder, are you conned? I wonder, are you duped? Have you a real relationship with God? Have you imbibed a liberal gospel? A gospel that won't save you. A gospel that won't bring you into a right relationship with God. And don't fool yourself. This is the most important thing in your life. You need to know, my hope is in Christ only. Christ only can make me right with God. Christ only can deal with my sins. Somebody telling me I'm all right won't help me one iota if they haven't pointed me to Christ to repent of my sins and believe. They have healed, says the Lord. These people suffered in different ways, many ways, just two of them. They spoke as if everything was all right. As the Lord lives, then lived as if he didn't. Then to affirm them in their delusion, the preaching was, you're well. It's all right. You don't need any more than what you have and what you are. You're a good person. You're a nice person. You're a moral person. You're an upright person. What more would God ask for? More than you could ever offer. He asks for perfection. He's a God of infinite purity and righteousness. You can't produce perfection. Jesus Christ is perfect and provides it to those that trust him. So duped. Now, over to James chapter 2. You know where we're going. The purpose this evening, my objective, is that you grasp what real faith is. You may speak a language, you may feel comfortable, so did these people, but Jeremiah has challenged them. Now we're over to James and to chapter 2. Demons' faith. I read verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils, really the demons, there's one devil, as you know, multitudes of demons. The demons also believe, and quite literally, shudder is the word. They shudder. But they believe. They have a belief, but it doesn't do anything for them, doesn't save them. All they do with the belief, the knowledge that they have, is shudder, is shake. They're doomed. They're finished. They know that there's no salvation for them. But here's the essence of a false or demonic faith. It can believe without question, without doubt, there is a God. They can know that, and nobody knows as they do. They recognized him when he was, to them as it were, disguised, when he appeared in human form. We know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. But before I come back to that, I want you to look at verse 20, for here's a description of real faith. And here's where many, many fail. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now the demons know, the demons believe. They can't work. They don't work. They can't demonstrate a faith that's real, because they can't work. Now I think we make a mistake when we talk about works. And I hope I can convey this. But when we read this text and think of works, faith without works is dead, we start thinking, what works are they? Preaching? Witnessing? Serving in the church in some form? Doing something? But actually, it does mean that, but it gets there a slightly different way. This is energizing. This is, if you think of a water wheel, of a form of producing energy that produces electricity, that produces light. So you know, water, say the great big water wheels that many of the old mills use to produce the energy to drive machines. It's the energizing and the work. The first work you need is this energy, this work that keeps us in touch with God. It's not what you do. It's being energized. Faith without works. If you think again of that supply of water that's constantly flowing, that causes the big water wheel to turn, that generates power to drive things. It's the water that you need first. It's the water that has to keep flowing. Without that, nothing turns. Nothing's generated. Nothing works. What you need first, the faith that works, is union with Christ. Then there's a constant flow. And what are the works that produced first? Trust. Trust can be said to be a work, because it's produced and comes from God. He constantly supplies that, and we constantly and continually trust in the Lord. No demon can trust in the Lord. No unsaved person can trust in the Lord themselves. They need the grace, the power of the Lord. They need to come first, repent of their sins, believe. They're given faith. And it's kept supplied, and it's constant, and they continue to trust. You see, faith and works here are like a devoted couple. You know, we speak of devoted couples as being a real Darby and Joan. I don't know who the original Darby and Joan was, but we use that term, real Darby and Joan. And some have been so closely, so deeply in a loving, caring relationship. We've said when one has died, and one dies just a few days later, he couldn't live without her. She couldn't continue living without him. It just broke their heart. One couldn't live without the other. Listen, faith can't live without works. Works can't live without faith. That is true work. And that's what's being brought out here. Now, do you trust? Are you in touch with God? Do you commune with God? If you neglect it, aren't you soon pulled up, Christian? Don't you soon know, I haven't prayed, I should be. I'm missing speaking to my God, my Father, my Savior. You see, you constantly supply. The Holy Spirit is producing the work, the trust, the fellowship, the communion. If you can live without those things, you don't have faith. For faith without works is dead. It's meaningless. It's not real. And when you have that kind of work, the spiritual work, if you like, the spiritual energizing and power, then it's expressed in these other things. Whatever gift you're given, you put it to service. You put it to use in God's cause, in Christ's cause, and in Christ's name. So you might be good at witness. You might be a good help. You might be good at prayer. These are the works flowing from the energizing work, from the trust, from the supply, from God. You need that first. That's why if you went into the church and you served and you went into the town and you gave out tracts and you spoke to people about God and you weren't saved, you weren't united to Christ, your works would be nothing. Absolutely nothing. They have to flow from trust, from faith in the Lord, motivated by a desire to please Him. And out of love for Him. Now back up a verse. Thou believest, says James, there's one God. He's addressing people too. People that are duped. He said you believe, but what kind of belief is it you have? You believe there's one God, thou doest well. The devils, the demons also believe and tremble or shudder. You see what demonic faith is? It's a knowledge of God that has no joy. So I'm just going to give you some things that true faith would have based on this. If demonic and false faith, insincere, not real faith, just causes trembling, as it does in the demons, if it can't assure you of peace with God, if you have no joy in the Lord, for example, you haven't got real faith. So what kind of faith do we have? The demons believe and just tremble. What would real faith do then, if that's what false faith does? Well, let's take the trembling, because some of you have trembled. Is that wrong? Does that prove your faith isn't right faith, that you have a fear of God? Actually, in a right sense, that shows you have a true faith. See, Christians have a balance. They have a fear of God because of His majesty, His glory, His immensity, His eternality, His purity and perfection. But you know what? Right alongside that, which is the difference between the demons and what they believe and know, that causes them no joy. Alongside this awe, we'll call it, that the Christian is given as he understands and grasps the being of God and the nature of God. Alongside that is awe and wonder and a glory and a joy. It's beautifully balanced. The demons can't have that. They just know they're condemned. The Christian knows they're made right with God. Yes, He's awesome. Yes, He is immense, infinite. And we fall rightly before Him. We have a healthy fear. But it's a balance. the faith you have, is it balanced? Can you think of God and then all be so humbled before him that you're thinking, I've got to appear before this glorious God? And oh, you would be humbled, but you would also be saying, but you know, this God that's so great and so immense, this Lord Jesus Christ, remember, that's the person of the Godhead you'll see in human form. And in him is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when you see him, we'll do what John did. We'll just fall at his feet. But he's spoken to. He's raised. He also has a love. He also knows he has a relationship. He liked to write of himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. You see the balance in real faith? Yes, of course there was all. He saw the risen Christ in his glory. He's on his face. But he loved the Lord. And he knew the Lord loved him. There was this wonderful relationship. What else about true faith? What does true faith do for you? It sanctifies you. It's making you different. It's making you holy. It's making you want to be and pursuing to be like Christ. That's what real faith does. No demon wants to be holy. Demons just know there's a God who's condemned them. They're finished. They sided when they had the choice, as it were. They sided with Lucifer, with Satan. Now they're done for. They're finished. They know something, just something of the power of God, but they know they're finished. What sort of faith do you have? Does it make you comfortable? Does it give you joy? The demons know and shudder. Do you ever think of your own faith? What's it doing for you? Comfort you in the knowledge of your sins forgiven. Comfort you in the knowledge Christ is Lord, but he's my Lord. And he's my Savior. He's my God. And oh, he's all that God is. But he's my friend too. He's my friend. He's not ashamed to call us, he said, his brethren. You see the balance? True faith gives us strength. We draw our strength from the Lord. True faith gives us resistance to the world. We don't go along with them. We don't follow them. We're not influenced by them, however sweet-talking they might be. They won't take us from the Lord. We belong to him. Have you got such a trust, such a faith? Demonic faith shudders, trembles. True faith rejoices. True faith all strengthens. True faith sanctifies. So, faith. What kind of faith? Do you even profess faith? Maybe you know you don't have any. Well, of course you need faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you haven't saving faith in Jesus Christ, that's the only faith that brings anything of profit. That's the only belief that reconciles. that brings us into union with Christ himself and reconciles us to God. True faith fills you with hope. What hope have the demons? No hope. Nothing. Despair. They shudder. They shake. They tremble. But if you have true saving faith, you have a living, substantial hope. It's real. It's comforting. It's strengthening. It supports when everything's against you and all looks so dark. This living hope, this substantial hope that's brought by faith, trust, the knowledge of the Lord, blessed by the Spirit through his word. You have a real hope. Now, ask yourself just now, what kind of hope you've got for heaven? What kind of hope you've got for the judgment day? And just picture yourself there, just the Lord in you. What hope have you got? What's the case you'll plead? Will you turn round, as it were, and look for Christ? Would you be able to say, if he was to once say, here's my hope, Father. Here's my only hope. I rest everything in this blessed and glorious Redeemer. He's everything to me. If he's failed you, if he didn't finish the work, then I'm finished too. Because I've no other plea. I've no other hope. It's all in him. That's the only place it needs to be. Saved to the uttermost. All that come unto God by him. Even now, says the apostle, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't have to wait, and I say this reverently, I don't have to wait for God to say, I'll look for a seat. I'll look to see if I've got a place for you. He's told me I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For you see, faith unites us to Christ. We're his. We're in him. He's going to share, all wonderfully share, with all his people. We will follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. We're his now, we're his eternally. So look at yourself, oh deeply. What faith do you have? Real faith, saving faith, a demonic-like faith, a knowledge. You know there's a God, but you don't have any real hope. You have no real joy in the Lord. He's just out there, and you're hoping that your belief that he's there will be enough to get you to heaven. There's no deepening relationship. There's no intimacy. There's no love. There's no affection. There's no desire to want to love him more. This is real faith. Real faith wants these things. Real faith says, this is everything to me. To know and love him is everything. And to know he loves me and will plead my case as my advocate before God. Have you true faith? Real faith. Saving faith.